there's something unique that happens when we, the body, come together. I thank you that there's revelation that is poured out when we gather together that isn't poured out separately. God, I thank you that there is revelation that is poured out. And God, I just thank you for your presence in this place. And I just ask, God, now that you would come in an even greater way. I ask that you would anoint, God, the words that you have for this morning. And all that's of you, God, I just thank you that it will be poured into ground that is ready, that ground that is softened, ground that is fertile, ground that is, God, going to be planted and bear fruit. And so, and God, anything that's not of you, I thank you that it will just fall to the wayside. God, I just love you, and I just thank you for your heart again after us and for who you are. And in your name, Jesus, amen. All right. Well, this morning, if you were here Wednesday night, I'm sorry, but I couldn't get away from this, and so I'm going to share this with you guys this morning. I'm in Matthew chapter 13, and I've read this story a whole bunch of times, and Wednesday night, we were in worship, and I just felt like there was this, I don't even know how to explain it, like Jesus is up to something, and I felt like he was up to it again this morning, and he's up to this renewing of our love and affection for him. And Wednesday night, it was like I could, it was crazy, but I could feel like the absence of like this void of his presence and like this haze, almost like we're almost like is it, I just kind of felt like it was over the body, not just the body of Christ as a whole. And like there's relationship, but there's something that he wants to reengage us in, and there's an absence of presence that you know it causes all kinds of things. And so I was thinking about disappointment can lead to desperation. And when you find yourself in a place of desperation, you cry out things you would never cry out in your normal mind. You make, you know, we do. We've all done it. Like we've been in crisis, you know, wanting the Cubbies to win the World Series, and we're making promises, and we're making, you know, okay, I'm being a little funny, but one of the pastors from Rockford put, okay, this Sunday, those of you that made commitments to God, if the Cubbies won the World Series, we're here for, at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., and I'm like, you know, a whole bunch of people were praying that. But seriously, you know, we find ourselves in places, and there's something about desperation that brings out an awareness of our need, and it brings out an awareness of how much we are in need of something greater than ourselves. And I just felt like, but sometimes we allow our disappointment to offend us. And we allow our disappointment to be offensive. And so I want to go to Matthew chapter 13. And it's Jesus's, when Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue. And they were amazed. Here's what they said. Where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers? So they're acknowledging with their mouth that Jesus is something, right? Like they're aware that he is teaching, he's teaching with wisdom, and he's moving in miraculous powers. Then they asked, isn't this the carpenter's son? Here's the process of for lack of a better word, dumbing down Jesus. Okay? Here's the process of what happens. Isn't he this carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. So the process So Jesus is in the synagogue, which, mind you, he did at 12. He started teaching in wisdom and moving in miraculous powers and all at 12. So here he's in teaching, and these people are saying, wow, here Jesus is moving in great wisdom and in miraculous powers. And then all of a sudden, though, then they begin the process of, but wait a minute. He's just common. He's just, like, isn't Mary his mother, and isn't Joseph his dad, and aren't his brothers and sisters among us? Aren't they one of us? Aren't they just like us? And then they took offense at him. And if you keep reading, it says Jesus was hindered in that town. Because the truth is, when you are offended, you will never be able to receive from the thing or the person that you are offended from. You will never receive, because you can't be in a place of offense and receive from that place. And the thing about disappointment is that it offends us, and we cannot then receive from the very place that we feel has disappointed us. That's a big issue. It's a big issue because, man, there are times when I have felt incredibly disappointed by God. And I was offended because he didn't do it my way, and it didn't look like what I wanted it to look like. And these people here, Jesus did not look like what they had pictured and what they had thought that the Messiah was going to be and what he was going to look like and what he was going to do. Right? And instead of allowing what Jesus was moving in and what Jesus was flowing in, instead of allowing that to fill them and to receive from that, they became offended. Because he didn't fit the picture, and we all do. We all have pictures of what we feel like God should be doing and moving and looking like. And when it doesn't happen that way, if we're not careful, we'll become offended. And then, if we're not careful, we'll live in that place of offense, and then we won't be able to receive everything that God has for us, because we'll become angry and bitter and hard. And so, I said Wednesday night, you know, just sharing with the teens, that my desire, and I believe it's everyone's desire in this place, is that this would be a place where Jesus can fully be who he is, and that we won't, right, we won't set up structures and those things that will hinder us from allowing Jesus to come in and be fully Jesus. That we won't be offended, that we won't be easily offended, that we won't be, and if we are offended, that we'll do whatever we need to do to not be offended, right? Because we want the fullness of Christ in our lives individually, and then we want the fullness of Christ in the body of Christ, and we want the fullness of Christ to go everywhere that we go. And you know, the Bible says that he came to give us life, and life in abundance. And if we're living in offense, we will not live in abundance, because offense holds us prisoner to those things that have wounded us or have hurt us or have caused us pain. And Jesus said, I have come to set the captive free. I have come that we might have life, and life in abundance. And so I just really want that for us as a body, in that Jesus would be able to, right, like he's already come. You guys know what I mean. But there's something about dumbing Jesus down that causes us to become offended. And this morning I could feel like his desire, you know, Linnea was singing, Take Me Back to When I Was Young. And I was thinking of when I first fell in love with Jesus. All of the kind of, like, looking back on it now, I'm like, man, that was kind of goofy. That was, like, if I look back on it. But I was young, and I was in love with Jesus. We used to do these things at Vinard during, because it's Valentine's Day that brought my to my memory. We used to buy carnations, and you could get them for your friends or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or, you know, whatever. And I used to buy some for Jesus, and I would get dressed up in a dress, mind you. And, yeah, I love Jesus more than you, Henny. It's true. I don't wear a dress for any. But, and, like, just crazy stuff. Like, so I always assumed he wanted to go to my favorite place to eat. And back then it was McDonald's because I had no money. And I was in college. And so I always joked that Jesus loves a Big Mac fry and a Diet Coke because the Diet Coke makes it all okay. But I really genuinely like the taste of Diet. I used to like the taste of Diet Coke. I didn't get it because I thought it counteracted the Big Mac and the fries. But and then I would just spend that time with him, and just thinking about that, I bet I look like a real idiot at McDonald's in a dress at McDonald's with a meal by myself. But I was with Jesus, and I you know, and then I would go down to the place where we had like a little altar thing set up, and I would just go down there and I would just be with him, and just, and God was just reminding me of that, like the crazy things you do when you first fall in love. And I felt like Jesus is wanting that again and wanting to re-engage us in our first love, and wanting us to, right? God is so incredibly big, but yet he's so incredibly small, but yet he's so incredibly big. I really sometimes can't wrap my head around how incredibly big he is, but yet how incredibly personable he is, you know? And Jesus is like he's just so incredibly wonderful and beautiful, and he just is desiring relationship. And if we're not careful, what once amazed us, what once amazed us, and what once, you know, it says here, they were amazed. They were amazed, and they asked, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? So how did they go from amazement to offense? How do you go from amazement and being amazed by Jesus to then be offended? And here's how it happened. They started comparing him. They started looking at him through the natural eye, through their natural mindsets, and they started comparing him to what they had established in their mind as what it was going to look like when the Messiah came. Oh, that's good. Ha. Huh. Wow. That's how you go from amazement to offense, is you have your mindsets and you have your ideas, and you don't allow Jesus to come in and speak truth into them and to allow him to maybe move and shift and do what he's been created to do. He's not just created to save us from all of our sins. He's been created, yes, to save us from all of our sins, but then to restore us to the Garden of Eden relationship with God the Father. That's what Jesus was created to do, to restore all of mankind to his daddy. That's what drove him, that's what led him, and that's what kept him on the cross, is because he heard the hard cry of his father, daddy, God, and he said, I can't have my daddy's heart breaking anymore. I've got to restore that. I've got to restore his heart, and I've got to restore his people to him and him to his people. And oh, God, let me do it. Let me do it. Let me be the one. Let me be the one that goes and gets your creation and gets your children and brings them back to you. Ha! Ah, he's so good. He's so good. And he still is so offending people today. We are such an offensive nation. We're so easily offended. We are so easily offended. Wow, he's so good. I want to stand in amazement. I want to live in amazement. I want to live in the place of amazement. Like, I don't want Jesus to be hindered in my hometown in here. I don't want him to be hindered in me. I don't want him to be hindered in this city. I don't want him to be hindered in this body. I don't want him to be hindered. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Yes, it is. But he's also the Son of God. He's also that. He was that. Thank God he came like this. Thank God he came as the carpenter's son, that he became flesh and blood and lived among us so that he could restore us into the heavenly places, so that he could restore us to God the Father. Thank God he offends my ideas. Thank God that he doesn't exactly do everything my way. Sometimes I think it would go better. And you guys all think that. You know it's true. You just don't want to admit it. We do. We think we know better sometimes. Sometimes we think we know better. Actually, there's a lot of times I think I do, but I really realize that I don't. And so this morning, I just wanted to share that with you guys. Like and I want to encourage you to read this throughout this week and just ask God if there's places in you where you've moved from amazement to offense. Ask him if there's places where maybe you've started to kind of, you know, where you used to view him this way, and sometimes because life happens and disappointment happens and just things happen, just ask him to show you if there's places that need to be touched by him, that need to be renewed into the amazement part, to where you see him as fully him and not as in the natural, like, you know. And so I hope that this has encouraged you and that it has just whatever Dad wanted to do with this, like, he's just really good. And you know, it says a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And I don't believe that has to be this way. I don't believe that it has to be that way. I believe that we can create a place where prophets that are people that have been born here, raised, I'm one of them. If you want to hear Gallagher twin stories, just ask Ruthie. The stories of, you know, the Gallagher twins and how awful we were and this and that. But, you know, but I have been received. I have been welcomed. Steve received me and welcomed me. And Steve was one of them too. Steve was one of them in Orangeville that, you know, I mean, a few years older than me, but he was one of them that there are stories about him and you wouldn't think that he, you know, would be received. But holy cow, was he received. You couldn't help but receive that man. I mean, I remember when I first started coming around as a teenager, I used to wear this yin-yang necklace, and it really bothered Steve. And he was like, Nikki, I'll buy you a cross, and you can wear that. And I'm like, Steve, it's no big deal. It's not a big deal. He's like, no, you don't really understand. I'm like, it's not a big deal. And he just would not relent. And I don't know why I'm sharing this story, but kingdom of mine. So, but, you know, eventually, like, seriously, eventually, I was like, because his heart was so pure and genuine and just love. And so he did. He got me a necklace, and I quit wearing the yin-yang. And I was like, fine, if it's that important to you, I'll stop wearing the yin-yang necklace. Like, I don't understand it, but okay. I do now. I do understand it a little bit more now. But you know, like, so I don't believe that, right, obviously, Jesus. I just believe that we can be intentional about creating a place for people to be received. And I want to be intentional about allowing this to be a place that Jesus has received in his fullness, that he can function and flow in the fullness of who he is, which then will enable us to function and flow in who we are. Right? So, all right. Well, God, I thank you for this morning, and I really just love you. And I just ask, God, that throughout this week that you will just saturate your people with your goodness and with your love, and that those areas, God, where maybe we have allowed disappointment to bring offense, where we have allowed situations and circumstances, God, maybe to to cause us to see you differently, that have caused us to maybe see you a little less than who you really are, that God, you would just show us those areas and show us those places, and that we would allow you to touch them and allow you to speak to them and just allow you to bring us into the fullness of who we are in you, so that we can move in who you are in us. And we just love you and we thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.